the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You be seated. You apologize about the mixture in the gospel reading. We're trying to change things up a little bit so that we're paying attention more to what we're saying or singing. But we'll get that right. We're still in Proverbs, and we've got two more to go this week, and then next week will be our last from the book of Proverbs. We will then be entering into a study on the Gospel according to John. I realized in my research that I have never preached through John, and so we're going to take advantage of that opportunity. But today we're in Proverbs. I was recently made aware of a 76-year-old woman who serves her church as the secretary, that she has been writing checks to herself to the total sum of $28,000 this calendar year. The woman is a widow with no money problems that the pastor was aware of at the time of this criminal discovery. I share this with you because our topic from Proverbs today is related to the topic presented last week. This woman who chose to steal from the Lord did not make her decision to do so with eternity in mind. What she revealed about herself, at least, she has a very poor ability to make decisions regarding her personal actions. Many people have hidden sins. We can choose to lust in our minds and no one knows about it. We can choose to envy and no one is the wiser. We can hold on to bitterness against another person and keep that bitterness to ourselves. But choosing a sin to hide that immediately harms others and is a direct affront to the Lord Jesus, that's a different type of sin altogether, a different level of evil. How a person could choose to sin in such a manner and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ at all, well, that's a great mystery. Our theme or topic today from the book of Proverbs is the importance of making good decisions. And that sounds like a benign topic compared to the others that we have addressed from Proverbs thus far. But when you put it in light of this woman choosing to steal church funds, well, that's a very important topic indeed. It is important because of how many decisions, important decisions, we Christians make in our lives. Consider how many important decisions you make. The most important, following the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. And once that's established, consider all the other ones, how important they are. Who you marry, your occupation, the church you choose to worship, where you live, the house you buy, the cars you buy, the schooling you choose, the schooling for your children, how to care about your parents when they're old. These are all important decisions. And the lesser decisions might be how to prepare for retirement, whether or not to take this job or that job, how to overcome disappointment, whether you should confront and try to mend a broken relationship. And yet, these seemingly lesser important decisions actually might become important depending on the consequences. It is important to recognize that with many decisions that we make, often there is no right or wrong. There is no breaking of God's law involved or even His will involved. But there are degrees of happiness and success and unhappiness and failure according to the decisions that we make. We then are asking how Proverbs helps us make decisions. Well, first, we say that we make good decisions by being wise in our decision making, exercising wisdom or sound judgment. wisdom for a Christian is using biblical truths that we know and are to apply to our lives and evaluate our circumstances and possible choices that we can make, and then to do the wise and godly thing. Consider the missionary strategy of decision-making by St. Paul in the book of Acts. As we read his decision to go to Corinth and to stay at Corinth for a year and a half, we find he did so because he found there was great success. But then it tells us that he chose to go to Ephesus for 3 years, twice the amount at Corinth. And not because he had a vision from God, but because he says, "A great door of effective work has opened to me, and there are many who oppose me." So, evidently it was wise to stay in Ephesus because the gospel was bringing forth a lot of fruit. But he stayed there longer, even longer than Corinth, because he had to establish the church in order to prepare it for the opposition, for the persecution that they would face. That was simply Paul using sound wisdom, practicing sound judgment in his work. It was a wise decision for the reasons that we just described, but it was simply a decision that Paul thought there was nothing else he could do. He had to do it. Consider that in other cases, Paul moved on in his ministry because there was no great door of effective work open to him. There was no hint that he received any vision or some heavenly direction. In fact, if you read through the book of Acts searching on how the apostles made decisions, most of the time they were made primarily by wisdom. Not special revelation, not a vision while they were sleeping, but by wisdom. Now, the times that the apostles did make decisions according to a vision, we find to be very dramatic. You remember Philip, who was having great success in Samaria. We are told that many of the population was coming to Jesus Christ as he was preaching the gospel, finding great success. And yet all of a sudden he makes his way through the desert by special revelation. And he finds himself coming upon an Ethiopian eunuch, and at that time shares the gospel with the man so that the gospel can be taken back to Africa. Special revelation, dramatic moment, so the gospel can spread. That was not great wisdom, but great moving of the Spirit. And you remember Jesus teaching us about wisdom and how a prudent man, when he sets about to do something, counts the cost of the project. Proverbs, in the same way, recommends wisdom to us when we are making decisions. Sensible judgment is to be applied to make good judgment. Hear these Proverbs from chapter 14, verse 15. "A simple man believes anything, but a prudent man gives thoughts to his steps." From chapter 22, verse 3. "A prudent man sees danger and takes refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it." Or consider chapter 21, verse 5. "The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty." According to these verses, what is involved in being prudent is thinking things out, planning. It is recognizing signs. It is making plans and then carrying them through. Consider, you probably know this better than I, consider the mess that we are in as a nation financially. And know that our governing officials did not give thoughts to their steps. They did not see the dangers, but kept going and continued to make hasty decisions based on electability, as opposed to what is wise and what is best for our nation. the greatest sin of our nation is abortion. There is no debating that. The second greatest sin, I believe, is the debt we are leaving our children. And both sins are abundantly self-serving and arrogant. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. From Proverbs 24, verse 27. Prepare your work outside. Get everything ready for yourself in the field. After that, build your house. This proverb may be paraphrased. Don't undertake a project in a hasty manner without making preparation. Don't do anything hasty without making preparation. It means much again the same thing as our Lord said, count the cost before beginning an undertaking. Christians are not to be fools in anything in life. And the second lesson from Proverbs regarding good decision making is that it requires godly advice and counsel. Now, Proverbs probably says more about this than any other way in which we make decisions. Godly advice. Consider these Proverbs from 11:14. Where there is no guidance, a people fall. But in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. From chapter 15:22. Without counsel, plans fail. But with many advisors, they succeed. From chapter 20, verse 18. Plans are established by counsel and by wise guidance wage war. From chapter 24, verse 6. By wise guidance, you can wage your war. And in an abundance of counselors, there is victory. Now, there is, of course, an underlining assumption here that the counselors that you choose in your life are wise people. Natural counselors are our parents and our grandparents. Teachers, and coaches, and bosses can be good counselors. And pastors, yes, even pastors, anointed by the Holy Spirit to be a counselor, to bring the Word of God into the people's lives. Too many Christians make decisions unaware of the moral realities that are involved in those decisions. I knew of a couple that was making fertility decisions without including their pastor, and they were placing themselves in a position to abort fertilized eggs. I know of a couple who decided that they no longer wanted to be married while never considering that their divorce, how it would affect their standing before God and before the church. I know of families who made decisions regarding euthanasia that essentially had them choosing death without acknowledging God, who is the only authority when it comes to life and death. We need to know that God has placed counselors in our lives to help us make decisions so as not to offend Him. And notice how the Proverbs read refer to multiple counselors. No wise person simply goes on the word of one other person. No wise counselor should ever expect to be the only voice that is heard. And the third lesson from Proverbs is that wise decisions require prayer. That should be obvious to us, shouldn't it? This is from Psalm 25, verse 4 and 5. And here we read how David practiced this. It's very insightful to realize what he's really praying for. He says, "Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long." Reading this psalm, in part, we can think that David was asking for signs in his life for which way to go. But actually, David was not interested in signs at all. Instead, David wanted the Lord to write God's word on his heart. He wanted his heart purified. He wanted the Lord to grant him fear of God, a confidence in God's law. And we know this is what God wants for each of us who believe in Him. He wants to write His word on our hearts that we might live lives that are honoring to Him. In the same way, hear this from James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Ministers like myself will teach that James is instructing us that when we have a dilemma to decide, we ought to ask God, and then God is going to tell us what to do. But there is more to that instruction later on in James' letter, from James chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Okay, so let me put these two things together for us. We're to pray for wisdom. But what is the wisdom we are to pray for? Well, from these passages, the wisdom we are to pray for is purity, peace, gentleness, mercy, sincerity, righteousness. If any of you lack wisdom, is the same thing as saying, if any of you lack a godly character, ask of the Lord, and He will give it to you. When it comes to decision making, James is not talking about signs or impressions on the heart to direct us if there's a fork in our road of life. He's talking about godly character. He's talking about a heart that has the Word of God written upon it. Remember, Paul says the same thing to the Thessalonians. This is God's will for you. You want to know God's will? This is it. Your sanctification. Your holiness. Proverbs puts it this way. The plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. Commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. Can we paraphrase that? Live a holy life and God will take care of the rest. And here is another example of how scriptures are so very consistent. You're to offer our lives to God in sincere faith and obedience and ask Him to bless us then with His grace and spirit. And that is how guidance comes to us, to God's people. They come to us through blessings of the Lord, through our faith, through obedience, through the working of His Holy Spirit in our lives, making us godly, making us righteous, making us holy. That is why Proverbs is so emphatic about humility. There are great limitations imposed upon us because we do not know our future. But we do know what the Lord wants of us in our hearts. Hear these Proverbs. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. The heart of a man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. Our ignorance of the future cannot be overcome. We do not know the future. Even the wisest decisions can lead into troubles of various kinds. And that's no proof that we made the wrong decision. Recall that Paul knew by prophecy that if he went to Jerusalem, that he was going to be arrested. But he believed it was best for him to go because it was a duty. He had promised them that he would come back to them, and so he was going to fulfill his promise. He was to take those Gentiles and show them the church at Jerusalem. He made that promise as well. And so even though he knew he would be arrested, even though he knew it could be his end, he did it anyways. And so we make decisions in life, recognizing that it might not go so well for us, but we recognize also that the Lord's promises are real. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Regardless of the outcome of our decision making, He will always be with us. That is to be our confidence. And we are to pray Like that is our confidence. You know, the disciples asked Jesus how they should pray. And you remember what he said, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And so when we pray to the Lord to understand his will, make our decisions, where is the priority? In Jesus' prayer, the priority is God's kingdom. And then there, in that prayer, is an acceptance of our dependency upon God, our daily bread. There is a recognition that without us forgiving and being forgiven, there's nothing else to consider. And the prayer for us to be delivered from evil is a prayer to be holy. And that is God's will. That is what He wants for you and for me. To be holy. Well, fourth and finally, wise decisions will be the responsibility of us exercising our liberty. A liberty that God has given us. God has made us, created us in His image to choose things. He gave us a will, and He wants us to exercise our will. There is no particular verse for this point from Proverbs. But we may look back at the verses mentioned and see how such liberty is implied. It's up to us. Make the decision. We're responsible. And such liberty is what makes us human and truly unique of all of God's creatures on the earth. Such liberty is also what enables us to have a personal relationship with God through Jesus, our Savior. I wonder if we can end this discussion of decision making from Proverbs with the simple point that in the end, we must choose Jesus. Regardless of how such sounds like a Christian bookstore card, it is true. We must choose Jesus. When you make a decision in your life, the most important one that leads everything is to believe and follow Jesus. That makes every other decision very easy. When Jesus said to men, "Follow me," He is saying what the book of Proverbs is saying. Follow wisdom. Follow life. Follow holiness. Such is the best decision any person can make. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Let us pray.